Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, or good evening, or whatever time of day it is for you, wherever you are when you hear our voices. My name is Deborah Brown, and welcome to Inspired Leadership Podcast. My co-host is the most amazing and wonderful friend in the world, Dawn Earhart Witte. Say good afternoon, good evening, Dawn.
Good afternoon, good evening, greetings.
Well, it's so cool that we are able to do this, right? Wherever people are in the world, they can hear our voices. Whenever they want to listen and put their earbuds in and have our voices go into their hearts and heads, we are just using the technology that we're so blessed to have. And I'm just happy to be here today, and I know you are too.
I am very much
our guest. I knew
excited.
I was giving you space to say that, and then I stepped on you. Not good. Not good. Well, let's talk about our beautiful guest, Kelly Ann Everts, who is going to be on with us to discuss what makes 10X leadership a cut above and how it relates to her company mission of improving the world through excellent, memorable service. Kelly is the owner and principal of Can Succeed Enterprises, which specializes in creating five-star exceptional service experiences in non-traditional environments. Kelly has over 25 years' experience in customer experience architecture. That's customer experience architecture, management, and organizational development. She partners with her clients to develop and execute global customer experience strategies. Throughout her career, she has designed and implemented customer experience programs for companies ranging from 15 to 2,500 employees in a variety of industries from commercial real estate, retail, entertainment, and healthcare. She is a multiple ICSC Maxi Merit Award recipient for public relations in corporate and shopping centers. She is a current board member for Beauty Bus, and she is a founding board member and professional contributor for the Desire to Inspire Foundation. Welcome to our show, Kelly.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
Well, we are going
to
have a good time. Thank you. I'm so glad you're here. And we are going to be talking today about that concept of ours, which is, 10X leadership. And just to remind us how 10X inspired leaders are different, it's just, like I said, that cut above thing, and I'm going to let Dawn start asking you some questions about your leadership and your company and in the world and the work you do in the world. But it's more than just visionary spirit, passionate creativity, bold strength of character. It's all the other things that make us who we are, and we're going to be very interested to hear what you have to say about that. So welcome.
Wonderful.
Welcome.
Thank you. Kelly, I would just like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being in my life, for being on the show with us. I mean, I was trying to figure out the other day how many years we've known each other. And I think it's been about 15. And I knew from the very moment that I met you, there is something aside from your inspired leadership qualities and how diligent you are at your job and how good you are with people. You just have the biggest heart. You see the good in everybody. You make everyone feel loved and special. And I'm grateful to have you in my life. And I'm so grateful to be able to share my Kelly with the world. So thank you.
Thank you. That brings a tear to my eye, truly. And I am so honored to be here. I believe you are correct. I think we've known each other now. It might even be a little longer than 15 years. And I had the same feeling, Dawn, when I first met you and had the opportunity to have your beautiful daughters intern with me. And when I met their most amazing mother and vibrant, I knew that I knew where they got their spirit from, and I fell in love with you right then and there. So thank you for having me on today.
Well, I just want to share one of my favorite Kelly stories is, I've got a million of them, but I remember I had told somebody about some somebody else. We were talking about somebody. I said, oh, well, Kelly loves this person, or Kelly just really likes this person. And everybody looked at me and they go, Kelly loves everybody. And I said, that is exactly who Kelly is. You see the light in everybody, and I can't even imagine you responding to somebody in a unkind way, because that's just not who you are. And my daughters would come home and tell me about the exercises you did with the team and how you would bring people together and how you, you know, inspired the people that you work with, and not only inspired the people that you were working with, but how you were teaching them to inspire, you know, customers and, you know, everybody else. And I just thought, that is what leadership looks like. So
Thank you.
We were talking about people to have on this show, you were one of the first people that came to mind, because I think you demonstrate inspired leadership better than anybody that I've had the good fortune of knowing.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much about that. I appreciate that. And I believe that, and I've known this my entire life from as young as a memory I could have, maybe 5 or 6 years old, that we are all connected, and we are all connected. It doesn't matter about where you live, how old you are, where you're, you know, if you're male, female, what language you speak. I just knew from a very early age that there's this connective thread, if you will, that is just at the core of everyone's DNA, and I've always had that as my guiding light, and throughout my life till this day. And it's not so much that I try to see the best in people; it's just the first thing that I see when I do meet people. And to be perfectly honest, because that is just how I'm wired, I also do see very quickly the if someone isn't so light filled. I'm putting that nicely, but we all have the dichotomy, but I can tell that too. But I'll still always then, that's when I try to really find the best in them. So on that point.
That is absolutely beautiful. You know, we have our 10X leadership traits. And Deborah, would you like to read those to remind everybody what those are?
I am so happy to do that. Absolutely would love to. All right. So I already mentioned that that an inspired leader possesses equal parts visionary spirit, passionate creativity, and bold strength of character. And then we think that there are 10 others. And mm-hmm. I know that you will see yourself, Kelly, most assuredly, when I read these aloud. Number one, singularity of purpose. Number two, ability to ask for help. Number three, awareness of opportunities. Number four, willingness to burn the boats. Number five, confidence in core values. Number six, strong belief system. Number seven, acceptance of responsibility to a calling. Number eight, willingness to share credit and build team. Number nine, ability to see the beauty and inherent good in others. And number 10, sense of awe and wonder. And I would like to say that we were just talking about number nine when we were talking about your guiding light for all your lifetime, and that is the ability to see the beauty and inherent good in others. And to amplify that just a little bit, we say that 10X leaders make others want to tune in to a higher vibrational frequency. People like being with them. People want to be like them. And I want to say that when I am actually the one that wrote these, but my inspiration for them is Dawn. And I wrote these as a gift for her in a book that we collaborated on. And I just was, matter of fact, I was keying in on the word inspiration for this particular chapter I was working on. And I decided to talk about the inspired leader that I believe Dawn is. And I realized that everyone would appreciate, you know, tuning into these particular traits and amplifying those in their own leadership space. And I think that when we talk to you and we hear what you say, this is one of your guiding lights, you are certainly all about number nine. but I know that you are also about core values because it's all over your website. I know that, you know, there's so many things about you that are going to incorporate all of these. And it's just so wonderful to have a beautiful leader like you to talk to. So
thank you
for letting me read those. And 10X leaders inspire others to be their best. And I think that's an important thing in this day and age. So many things are going right in the world, and so many things can certainly go better in the world. And, of course, there's some things that are not so good right now. right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well,
so
Kelly, you know, we had initially talked about, you know, talking about the ability to see the beauty and inherent good in others. But when we were talking right before the show, you had mentioned that the one that you have the hardest time with, and I'm sorry for throwing you for a loop here, but
it's
the ability to ask for help. And I think that that is one of the things I struggle with too. So I kind of wanted to touch on that only because I think a lot of us, especially people who are very giving, have some issues with that. And I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, how you go about overcoming that, or where you are in that journey on, you know, being able to ask for help more readily.
Sure. And if I may, I'm going to go back quite a few years, way, way back, in the way, way back machine, to, to when I was a new mother. And I was married with my first husband. My first husband is his name is Rick, and we had three beautiful children together. I have been divorced and remarried, but the reason I'm going all the way back there is way, way back as a new mother, and I know that I am going to connect with a lot of people listening in this regard. You are so overwhelmed. You have no idea what you're doing, and you just pray and hope that you're making the right decisions, and you probably need, I know I needed, a lot of help. I never asked for it, and I learned the hard way, as well as everything happens for a reason, but I did learn that. I think that's when I first started realizing, when I look back, that I had a really hard time asking for help. And then I became a single mother. I was a single mother of three children for 12 years, and that is an incredibly challenging role to have. And being a leader through that was incredibly, I learned so much. I guess I could say that I learned so many life lessons and leadership lessons by being a single parent, working full time, being a vice president of an organization, high priority in a high profile position, and still getting dinner on the table, and still yet not asking for help. I didn't learn my lesson very well. Again, in retrospect, I realized coming back now to the present, it took me, I'm now 54, it took me about 48 years of my life to finally realize, gee, maybe if I ask for help, I could be a better leader. And it did not come easy. It's something that I'm sure continue to struggle with, but I say a good struggle with, because now I am able to recognize the signs in me and around with people around me of when I really should ask for help, whereas before I wasn't able to see them. And for me, when I know that I need assistance or help, regardless of what the issue is or the topic is or the task is, I feel it in my bones, literally. My body takes over. and Dawn, you've reminded me of this many times, so I appreciate it. And surrounding myself with people that I love and trust, that always have my best interests and help me understand the value and the beauty in being able to ask someone for help, because it also gives them the opportunity to be part of, I don't know, to be connected and to be helpful and
yeah.
share their gift. So I think that what I've learned most is to really listen to myself, listen to that voice that I stuffed most of my life. And while I succeeded, I know that I've succeeded so much more in the last 10 years of my life than I ever did the first, 44 years of my life. And because I have really allowed that part of me to be heard, and that includes, letting the ego part of me mm-hmm. go to the wayside and say, no, it's good to ask for help. In fact, I've learned that the best leaders know that they don't know everything. And I think that's one of the core components I've learned as a leader is, and it's great advice I'd give to any new leader or anyone in a new position is, of course, you want to listen to people and you want to observe and you want to be as knowledgeable as you can and get in down and dirty, but you also need to be able to ask for help when you really need it. And so that's how I've approached it now in my life and continue to approach it. So I have advanced.
That, I feel you. I feel you because, that is also a struggle of mine. One of my very dearest family members, she's a cousin. Her name is Mary. Hi, Mary, if you're listening to this. I remember we were at a family reunion and we were cleaning up and somebody had offered to do something. And I said, oh, no, that's okay. And Mary looked at me and she said, Dawn, do not deny him his blessing. And I mm-hmm. thought about that. It was the first time I'd ever heard it put in such a way. Yeah. And I thought, I know how I feel when I'm able to help someone else. And so
right.
I am denying them their blessing. If they're offering to help, why wouldn't I let them? So that was
exactly.
a really aha moment in my life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that is exactly what I've learned. And it's very humbling, that lesson. It's very
mm-hmm.
humbling. And but such a perfect and beautiful lesson to learn. So
Deborah, I have a question, and
that?
I've really enjoyed this illumination, if you will, of the ask for help. And I'm wondering if asking for help is different from being able to delegate. I have a sense that it is. I think that we probably delegate as leaders. We delegate with aplomb, right? It's like, oh, I got this. I can delegate like a crazy person. No problem. But
right.
when it's turning around now and you're adding that vulnerability, that little bit of, am I going to look weaker if I ask for help? Does that resonate for anybody? Is that something that would make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that, and I'm glad you pointed that out, Deborah. There is a distinct difference in the two, although there is enormous similarity and overlap, but what you're describing is on a much deeper level. And I know for myself where I believe it began in my life, again, in the way back machine, I am the chosen one, and I was the chosen one. I am the chosen one in my family to pretty much carry the water and the weight for everyone in the family. And I, we're assigned our roles, whether we want them or not. That just, I believe that's kind of how families evolve. And it was never even offered, I never even knew I could ask for help. But then as years go by, I first learned as a new leader how to delegate. And that truly was a difficult lesson to learn. The most difficult part of it was knowing that I couldn't do it all. I couldn't do it all and do it at the level of that 10x level, if you will. And so I couldn't do it on the grand scale that I on the you know, the scalable level that needed to be done if I did not delegate. So on a very practical, very process level, the delegation aspect was learned. And boy, was that an excellent lesson, and I'm so glad I did. But yes, the deeper part of the letting go to let others in to really help is on an emotional, on a vulnerable, on a very trusting and open-hearted, armor down, armor off level. And yes, in delegating, there is a, for me at least, a component of accepting that I can't do it all. But on the deeper level that I'm talking about, it's in knowing that I'm not all. You know, I'm not omnipotent. I'm not perfect. There's that word, perfect. Perfectionism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think it's more in that regard. And another trait I really believe exceptional leaders have is the ability to learn how to be brave enough to take the armor off, to accept that they're not perfect, and to fall and to know how to get back up. And not necessarily fall fast. Sometimes falling doesn't happen fast, but to be able to recover, because anyone who's ever learned how to fly or to skate or to ride a bike knows that, I mean, really, you have to learn how to fall, ski. You have to know how to fall and how to get back up. And so I think that that was one of the most important leadership as a new leader I learned, and I would recommend that to someone else, is to don't just accept that you will fall, but know that it'll be okay, but learn how to fall and get back up. And I think that is part of the number two, ability to ask, because you have to accept that, and it's not necessarily falling. It's just, it's that vulnerability part. And I think that we're so used to putting the armor up. And if I may, do you mind if I kind of, because this kind of connects to something I really wanted to talk about as a leader.
Absolutely.
And a reason why I chose to, one of the main reasons why I chose to start my own consulting business, if you don't mind. But it ties into all of this, and it's I think, really important for other leaders to hear, possibly, or some other leaders to hear.
Please.
So I loved, when I was working for a particular company as a vice president of learning and organizational development and oversaw the service element and service brand of the entire company, all the properties, all the elements of that company, I absolutely loved my job. I loved the ability to see the ambassadors being leaders in and of themselves and really taking the reins and living the vision. It was so rewarding because they were paying it forward. It was obviously for a business purpose that was our brand, but just on that level of humanity and my lifelong purpose of serving, that is my purpose, is to serve. It just did me so good. But I learned, you know, my aha moment as a leader was when I learned that I wasn't playing, I didn't have the same playbook as other leaders in the organization. And not all other leaders, but many of the other leaders. And what I mean by that is my playbook was, we're here to turn a profit, to build a community, and to improve the experience for our guests and customers, and with that, our associates who were our ambassadors and our, you know, team members, and to have a successful organization. Well, I learned that might be the goal of other leaders, but many of them were out to protect themselves, or out, it didn't matter if they lied or their intentions were not necessarily so pure. And I learned that lots of other so-called leaders, and it's not just in that particular organization. I actually learned in almost every organization I've ever had the pleasure of working in, sadly, there are certain people in leadership positions that it's not that they're bad people, but they have their armor up. They're just not necessarily really in for the goal and mission of the company. They're much more in it for themselves. And I had my aha moment realizing, oh, the playbook that you have is not the playbook I have. And I like my playbook. And because of my values, I'm not going to go off your playbook. And I realized, though, that in order to actually really stick to my own playbook and always stick to my playbook, I had to do it my way. And that was one of the reasons I knew that I wanted to, you know, my vision and goal was always to improve service, to really extend that opportunity to everyone. It didn't matter who the customer was, who the people were. Everything can be better out there. It all can be better. The lives of the employees, the lives of the customers, everything can be better, and you can turn a better profit in which is really the goal. If I did it, so I had, that was my reasoning for having my own consulting business. And so I don't know. I think it's very important to have a strong purpose, have an understanding of what your purpose is, and really stick with your core values. Because if you don't, and there are going to be ample opportunity as leaders to stray from your core values, ample, I mean daily, you will be ill at some point. I mean, it causes illness in your body. Mentally, physically, I believe, at least I know for myself and having spoken with others that have experienced similar situations, you know, at some point it takes over. And so
it's all about
that, though. It is. And, you know, that is being brave. It is. It takes a lot of bravery to step out and do something different. It also takes a lot of courage, but you have to be willing to fail and to fall and to, you know, accept what comes with that. And so I think leadership too is sometimes being out there feeling like perhaps you're the only one out there.
Yes.
But really, you're never the only one out there. You just might feel that way, or you might be, but just not for very long. So the right people will find you. Yes, and they always do.
They do.
But I do appreciate you letting me share that, because I know that one of the things I have been asked many times by those that are just getting into new roles as leaders, whether it's managers, whether it's directors, I do a lot of coaching with individual team members in all different industries, as well as leaders of organizations. And I just, you know, I reiterate that to them too, and to always understand that is very important. And whenever I create a program for a company or an organization, if that's the project I'm working on, or if I'm doing a cultural retreat or a visioning retreat, I really want to make sure and always make sure that we start from that purpose, which is whether it's the vision or the mission, the core values, all of those components, that is and always is with whatever I do as for Can Succeed, for any of my clients, is start with those principles, because that is their organization and that's their foundation. But it has to be operationalized, and if you have a leader who is doing other than what you are expecting your associates to do, then you're not going to be a great leader in the long run, and you might need to rethink your purpose or your position or anyway, I'm
well,
kind of going off
even,
a little bit,
but even outside of professionally, I think that mm-hmm. what you're talking about applies to, you know, ourselves as humans in the world.
Absolutely.
Just who we are, about being, you know, having integrity and doing the right thing for the right reasons. And you know, to my seven words, you know, being kind,
yes.
coming from a place of love, you know, those,
yes,
those are exactly the core values of not just, you know, in the workplace, but just in life.
Absolutely. You know, I've struggled most of my life because of I made right decisions, but because I made right decisions, I didn't always, there are certain things I feel like I missed out on. I think everyone feels that way at times. But I do know one thing, and that is that there's really nothing more important in life. There's really nothing more important in an industry or an organization than having respect and kindness and understanding of others. And so I think that the parallels will never. I think there are always going to be those parallels between personal life and professional life. They are separate entities. However, a great leader, again, another component I believe a great leader has is the ability and desire to get dirty, to actually rumble, to understand what it's like, you know, in every aspect of their company, not just from a dashboard or a survey or, you know, the data. That's very important information and absolutely imperative to have. But also get in there, learn, listen, find out, and, you know, be curious and never stop learning. And in order to do that, I think you have to have a genuine fondness for people. If you don't, then, you know, it's just that much more challenging.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, notice something out loud here, and that is that your playbook reflects your light in the world. And it's more than your values. It's everything that makes you Kelly. And yes, you do have a different playbook from other people, as do I and as Dawn does. And what's really wonderful is that we are calling the kindred. We are looking for the people who have the playbooks that kind of mirror ours in some ways. And it's so wonderful to find someone that you can meet for the first time on this phone call, in my case, and hear you talking about the difficult lessons you've learned. And it's the similar lessons that I have learned, you know, that thing about delegating and when you did it the first time, and you have to say, I will turn that to me. I had to say, I now have to hold someone else as capable as I am, or even more capable, Lord forbid, than I am, because now my ego is going to get in the way. And it continues to happen. And I notice it, and I say, now, Deborah, you're not the smartest person in the room. You just think you are, you know. You know, get over yourself.
Right.
You'll be fine. It'll be okay. You know, that person can do this just as well as you do. And I have to swallow that down. You know, it's like, oh, I don't think so. And then I have to, you know, relax into it. But it's a growing experience, believe me. And it's a humbling, as you said, it's a humbling experience where you say, okay, I do bless this person by saying, I trust you to do this. I trust you to step in for me or for the team and be the one who will carry the flag for this particular task. And it's not my favorite thing to do because I really do love to do it all. And I do run out of steam and I run out of, you know, whatever. And then I get into a little bit of resentment. I mean, you can mess yourself up being, you know, all full of yourself. So anyway, thank you for sharing that. And what I also noticed about that is when you hold others capable, you're going back to number 9, which is the ability to see the beauty and inherent good in others. Right. So when you're asking someone to tune into their higher frequency, right, and step into leadership, mm-hmm. Or step into just being responsible for a particular task, that is an opportunity for that person to grow that maybe they were never going to have any other time. And
right.
I will say this about, you know, I'm not being insincere when I'm saying, you know, I do prefer to do everything by myself sometimes, but I have also trained an entire service organization in a region of 1,600 members, how to put legacy leadership into their core values as each club was growing mm-hmm. their memberships, because what they were doing is having the same people be the president of the club over and over again. They were like mm-hmm. recycling the same people. And I kept saying, you're going to ruin your, you're basically, I didn't say it this way, but they were going to ruin the entire organization of 100 and some odd mm-hmm. thousand members around the world if they did not start planning for training the next group of people to be the leaders. And when you ask someone to step up, the thing that happens to that other person, because it happened to me when I was asked to be the president, well, actually, I was asked to be the vice president, and then it's understood that the ascendancy was probably going to happen, but it was still, you know, a growing thing. But it changed mm-hmm. me. It made me a different person. And mm-hmm. I stepped into leadership, and, you know, somebody saw the inherent good in me, and it was the best thing that ever happened. So I think what I'm saying is there's a lot of layers here, and you've unpacked a lot of them, and we could probably talk another half hour, 45 minutes on each one of those traits, each one, not just a half hour total.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So does that all resonate with you too? It's like, oh my goodness, how many
absolutely.
How many lessons we have learned.
Yes. And I love that you said that about when you were put in the position of leader. I have many times, I aken it to looking behind me and saying, oh, you mean me? Oh, okay. So you think I could do this? Okay. If you think I can, then I guess I can.
mm-hmm.
But it's a really, yes, I really understand what you shared.
Yeah,
that is so funny because that's exactly how I've always like come into leadership positions. I'm like, wait, who are you talking about? but you know, just as you were talking, and Deborah, both of you were talking about, you know, not denying somebody their blessing. Well, denying them the opportunity to live into their highest calling is also just as, you know, detrimental as denying somebody their blessing, because, you know,
right.
when everybody lives into their highest and their, you know, their greatness, that's when we all are lifted. So it's really funny because I kept saying the ability to see the beauty and inherent good in others, that is Kelly, 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 Kelly. But I think the ability to ask for help, again, is something that I struggle with also. So I'm so glad that we kind of went in that direction because I think I'm still learning it, you know, every single day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenge. But yeah, in order for others to be great, we need to allow them to step into their greatness.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Kelly, is there anything else? Is the beauty bus something you'd like to talk about? That sounds like something very intriguing to me.
Oh, yes. It's near and dear to my heart. The Beauty Bus Foundation, which, again, wonderful connectors and serendipities in life. I was connected to the Beauty Bus Foundation through our lovely Dawn Whitty, who through Desire to Inspire Awards, we were recognizing the outstanding contributions of Beauty Bus to the community back in 2017, I believe, and awarding a Beauty Bus Foundation with this wonderful award. It was a great celebration and a beautiful gala. And I heard the founder's story. Her name is Wendy Levine, and her story is and was that she started with her cousin, Beauty Bus Foundation, as a tribute to her sister, Melissa, who unfortunately passed away untimely at the age of 30 from, well, I believe it was ALS, but it was a debilitating muscular disease. And she obviously died way too early. She had just gotten married. It was very sad. But one thing that brought happiness to Melissa during the time when she truly was homebound and, you know, couldn't really do anything, including move, was having someone come to her home and do her hair up and cut her hair and put makeup on and do her nails. And it just made her feel human again. After all the testing and probing and poking of, you know, that doctors and nurses do, and that became her life, was being a patient and experiencing the coldness and unending, never-ending experience that is. Those few moments of just being with someone that had nothing to do with, you know, her illness, it had nothing to do with anything but feeling pretty, and she was always a girly girl. It just brought so much spark and happiness to her day, and it lasted for a very long time every time she'd have this. And so when she passed away, and her sister Wendy and her cousin realized that they'd really love to pay this forward and be able to bring this to other people who were also going through serious illnesses and perhaps couldn't afford it, or whether they could afford it or not, just being able to offer this and realizing they may not even have known they needed this in their life to uplift their spirits and make them feel human again. So Beauty Bus Foundation, their mission is delivering kindness, loving kindness, compassion to seriously ill patients and their caregivers through beauty services. So really what we're delivering, what they deliver, is the love, the compassion, the kindness. It just happens to be through beauty services, manicures, facials, makeup, haircuts. And it's incredibly, it's humbling. It's incredibly enlivening to be able to be part of this organization and see how impactful it is, not just on the clients who are the patients, but also on the caregivers. You know, they do services in home visits. They do services in hospitals on a weekly basis, various hospitals, and they do services that they call pop-up salons to allow people to come from different areas within a hospital setting or an organizational setting to experience what the patient and the caregiver would be experiencing. And just the connection and the kindness and the fact that these amazing volunteers, these beauty professionals, are doing this and bringing so much love and happiness to someone who is going through a lot. And I will say, you know, my mother was my stepfather's caregiver, and she tirelessly worked to help him have a great life. And he's still alive. He has his full mental capacity, but he was an amputee, and he had a hard time getting around. And so she bent over backwards for years taking care of him. And sadly, my mother passed away in 2016, and I believe in part, not that she, it was not directly because of being a caregiver, but the fact that as a caregiver, many caregivers don't do nearly as much for themselves as they do for the client or for their loved one or whoever they're caring for. And I believe in my mother's case, that was definitely the case. And she should have gone to the doctor sooner, and she didn't, and it was sudden. But the point I'm making is caregivers get forgotten too, and many times they're the ones that go first because they just give and give and give. So to be able to provide this free of charge is incredibly empowering, and there's nothing like just sharing some kindness. And I am happy to say that I have been voted in to be the next president of the board, and so that will begin January. Yes, I have not even told you that, Dawn. That just happened this week. So beginning in January of 2021. Yes, I'm over the moon. I'm honored. I'm having one of those moments where I'm looking behind me because I've never been the president of a board. This was the second board I was on. I've been on, so. I am looking forward to this new leadership role, and but I really appreciate that this is something that is doing so much good for the community and for those that are at their most vulnerable.
That is an amazing organization. I am so proud of you for being their next president. You can 10X that. You can 10X that, absolutely. I mean, I'm almost ready to cry. You know, like, wow. That's some good stuff there. That's some good stuff there. Right, Dawn?
It sure is. I mean, that's one of the reasons that we gave the Desire to Inspire Award to Wendy back in 2017, because she turned a very her painful, you know, loss in her life into something very beautiful and touching lives, so many thousands of lives. I mean, it's just, she inspires me. And Kelly, you inspire me. And I know that you're going to do an amazing job for all the work that Wendy's doing. So thank you for
that. Oh, and you inspire me. And I thank you for, again, beautiful people that you surround yourself with, such as yourself, are your lifelines. And it is all goodness. It's all wonderful kindness. And I just am so appreciative of all the inspiration you've provided me, Dawn. I never tire of it.
Oh.
Deborah, when you were saying that part of your, when you were writing these 10X traits or characteristics, that Dawn was one of the inspirations. I must say that I 100% agree with what you were sharing, especially number 9. So
yes. Well, yes, and I'll tell you the other one that is our wonderful Dawn, and that is strong belief system, and to amplify that. 10X leaders have evolved into mighty oaks rooted in love. They have most likely started an international kindness evolution or a significant movement with the help of friends and colleagues. And, of course, the Desire to Inspire Foundation is that. So, yeah. So, yes, I invite you I'm just glad that we are all able to be together, I guess. And
yes.
I invite us all to just revel in it, really, because we can pass it on. We can look inside and reflect our own playbooks and say, you know, how am I doing? How am I doing? I'm doing well. I've got friends like Dawn and Kelly, and I'm doing well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I think this I think this is a good place to end. If you'd like to give any contact information, your website or any other information you'd like to give, that would be a great time to do this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yes. You can find me at my website, cancixc.com. And my email is Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-E, at cansucceed.com. That's all one word. So, and it's K-A-N-N for Kelly Ann.
I was just going to say.
Yes.
I was just going to say.
K-A-N-N. Right. It's a play on words for my name,
good
Kelly
job.
Ann. Yes. So,
sometimes our plays
thank
on
you
words
so
are
much.
Like, what was I thinking? What was I thinking?
Right.
When I did that?
Oh. Isn't that the truth? Yes.
I know. I've done that before. It's like, oh, that seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
No, I love it. K-A-N-N-S-U-C-C-E-E-D. It's like, can succeed.
Correct.
Dawn, do you have anything else to wrap up before we end?
I want to thank you, Deborah, as always. I want to thank Kelly. Thank you so much for being in my life, for being on this podcast, for sharing your beautiful, loving voice with others in the world, and for just being who you are. And I just want just to remind everybody to, you know, especially right now with everything, the uncertain times that we're having, let's all just, you know, be a little bit more loving and a little bit more kind, and we can get through this.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you all.
Yes, thank you. That's a beautiful sentiment. And as you said, Kelly, we are all connected, no matter our age, gender, culture, experiences. Anything that makes us different from each other is just outer trappings, but inside and in the big string of things, that connective thread is all the same. So thank you for being on our show today. And I do believe that exactly how we started, Kelly loves everybody, Kelly inspires everyone, I think is absolutely true. And thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. So thank you both.
Okay.
Have a blessed
day.
Okay,
so we're
going
to say goodbye. You too.
Goodbye.
All right, we're going to say goodbye. And then this thing is just going to abruptly end. And eventually there will be music taking us out, but I didn't do that yet. So thank you again, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.